What's up, y'all? We're nearing the end of this marketing series to replace the Facebook Lives I've been doing. We'll bring the Facebook Lives back this next year after we're retooling a couple things. We're really excited about it. But if you guys want the entire series, this entire marketing series, I've been calling it the 15-minute marketing series, but as you can see, my clock must be broken because some are shorter, some are longer, but they're around that, somewhere around there. But if you want the entire series, make sure you go to our podcast, subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts or on Spotify, or go subscribe to our YouTube channel. We're pushing almost 10,000 subscribers over there. So go over there and subscribe. Help us push us closer to 9 over 10. It'd be a massive, massive celebration. Actually, this is kind of cool. So in 2010, I wrote my first life list, and you guys have probably heard me talk about life lists before, and it's essentially a bucket list, but with a positive twist to it. And on my life list, one of my items I wrote way back in 2010 was someday have 10,000 subscribers on YouTube. And back then it felt like it was this massive, massive thing, which it is, and we're right there. So head over to YouTube, hit the subscribe button. You get access to every single video that we put out there. And when we do some special trainings, you'll get alerted on YouTube when we're going live on some cool stuff. So go over there and subscribe. So this particular episode in the marketing series is gonna be talking about your marketing stack. And so the last episode we talked about your irresistible offer. How do you create an offer that stands out that people cannot not choose? And once again, just to clarify, we're not talking about the dollar offer on a house. Okay, so the word offer, of course, has multiple meanings when you're in the real estate space. This is the offer to make clients want to work with you. So go listen to that episode if you have not yet, because if you don't have an irresistible offer, if you can drive all the traffic you want to drive, you can have the most amazing marketing stack in the world, but if you don't have an irresistible offer that stands out from other people in your market, then you are going to lose. Okay, you're going to win some deals just because of whatever. You might be offering a higher dollar amount, or you might have some sort of affinity to that client, a friend, a family member, a referral, or the person just, they just want to go with the person that's in front of them rather than shopping around. But if you do have an irresistible offer, you're going to start winning business that you would not have won before. So go check that one out. Now we're going to be talking about, how do you get people to that offer? How do you do your marketing? What's your marketing stack look like? If you're able to see me drawing on a whiteboard, and I've done a lot of these types of trainings, I actually have a training called the Authority Builder Training. You can go check it out at carrot.com/authority, carrot.com/authority. It focuses primarily on real estate agents, but it's just as applicable for investors. So go check it out, carrot.com/authority. But in that presentation, I show something I call the three-legged stool. And the three-legged stool kind of represents most real estate investors and agents' businesses. And when I talk with a lot of agents and investors, one of the big gaps that they've got and the struggles that they have is they have inconsistency in their leads. They have inconsistency in their lead flow. When you have inconsistency in your lead flow, you have that what I call boom and bust business cycle. And I can relate to that massively, because that's what I had before I changed the way I was doing my marketing. And a lot of people think that their inconsistency in their leads and the busyness that they have, and the always hurried pace, and just the stress that they have, they think it's because they don't have enough leads. But I would argue that it's because you don't have enough consistency and predictability in your leads, lead flow, and deal flow. Because when you have consistency and predictability, you can actually plan from that. If you know within some sort of variance, 10 to 15% each month, how many leads you're going to be getting. And if you know within a certain percentage of each month about how many customers you're going to be able to work with, then you can plan on that. You can take vacations. You can hire based on that. You can start to get more freedom, start to get more flexibility, start to grow those finances more predictably, and start to make an impact finally. It's when you don't have consistency, even if at the end of the year you have an amazing year and you look at the money that you made that year, the income, you're like, man, this is a great year. It was a banner year, but I was stressed the entire year. It felt like I could never let off the gas because I was always paranoid that the business would fall out from underneath me. And that's a consistency and predictability issue. That's not a lead issue usually. Okay, now let's work it backwards. How do you get consistency and predictability in your business? Well, going all the way back to one of the first episodes, we talk about the three ways to grow your business, right? Get more customers in the door, have your customers buy from you more often, i.e., do they have other houses they can sell, or Do they have other properties that they can work with you on? Or make sure that they work with you every single time that they are ready, right? Okay, then the next one is to get them to increase their average order price. So same thing with a real estate investor. It's making sure that you are winning deals at higher average profits. And real estate agents, it's stepping your way up the ladder in home value so you can average higher commissions. You're working with people and types of properties that average higher commissions. Those are the three ways, right? So if you look at those things, you can focus on those items for sure, going all the way back to that first episode. And that's gonna help you gain even more consistent predictability to your revenue if you start to add in those three things. What I'm gonna be talking about in this episode is the first one, is how do you get more people in the door? Okay, how do you get more people in the door? On the other ones, we focus a little bit on escalating your prices up and going up the commission ladder, up the profit ladder, okay? But getting more people in the door is essentially, it's decently easy, but it takes work and it takes commitment and it takes patience, okay? So the first thing I like to do when I'm launching a marketing campaign and I've got a great offer is I like to go, who are the lowest hanging fruit? Who are the people that would be my ideal? Like, these people I could help better than anyone else. If they see my offer, they're the ones who are gonna like it the most. They're the ones who are gonna likely have the biggest pain that I can solve for them, okay? If I can get a message in front of those people, then we're all gonna win. They're gonna win because they're gonna have a great service that solves their problem. I'm gonna win because I'm working with people, and we can close the deal faster. So try to pick out which people are people that need a solution quicker versus one that's gonna be 6, 8, 10, 12 months out, okay? So I'd write down that list, I'd write down that avatar like we talked about way back in one of the earlier episodes, and who is that person that's gonna help have a quicker transaction because they're more motivated, you'd love to work with them, they're gonna see your offer clearly as a massive benefit for them, and it's something that you'd be proud to be able to work with that person because you know you can help them really well. Okay, write that down. The next thing I would write down is, where do they congregate? Where do those people hang out? Where do they congregate? Are there certain groups? Do they go to certain events? Are they on certain lists? Can you buy certain lists? Things like that. So start to write down, where would I find these people? And so one of the things you can do, of course, is you could buy lists of those people. So as an example, as a real estate investor, it might be probates. It might be, if I could pick the ideal person, someone who has multiple problems that really creates the pain point more and I can solve it. They have code violations, they're behind on payments, and maybe, they have a tax lien, like whatever it is. Someone that has multiple issues that you can solve that increase the motivation are people that you should definitely reach out to first. And so what a lot of people do is they'll start with something that's lower cost if they don't have a big budget. And that's what I would suggest too. And a lot of the lower cost, low budget stuff at the start is gonna take work, right? So the more you pay with your marketing, the more leverage you get with your time. So if you have low budget, then you need to know that you need to be putting in more work. If you have a budget, it's gonna be less work for you because you can leverage systems, people, marketing methods that cost money to deliver things more efficiently. So you need to really look at, how much money do I really have ready to deploy in my marketing to make my marketing work? The next episode, or maybe at the back half of this episode, I'll talk about the math behind your marketing, because so many people start to bring in emotion when they're picking that marketing budget. Actually, let's talk about it in this episode. Okay, so because it's really relevant here. Because what'll happen with a lot of people is when I'm talking about, hey, okay, you've nailed where those people hang out, who are the most motivated people that I can help now, that need my solution now in the short term. And then you pull back and go, well, cool, do I have a marketing budget to be able to do systems or purchase delivery systems, i.e. direct mail, hire people to do cold calling, or do Google pay-per-click, do Facebook ads, whatever. Do I have money to hire those out, or do I need to do the low budget option? So this is where we're gonna go on budget now. Okay, most people, like I said, make emotional decisions around marketing rather than using math. And here's what I'd like you to do. I'd like you to write down your average profit per deal if you're an investor, or average commission per transaction if you're an agent. Write down, pause this podcast right now, write that down on a piece of paper, okay? Average profit per deal if you're an investor, or average commission if you're an agent. That's critical, because if you don't start at the end game, where you're going, where you want to go, then it's going to be really hard to work backwards and have math help you. Emotion is always going to creep in. So write that down. Now write down how many clients or prospects, of like good prospects, okay, do you have to talk to in order to close one of those deals? Okay, so as an agent, it might be a little bit trickier because you're always out there talking to people, but I would really look at things and qualify a really good lead. Like, what does a good lead look like for me? Okay, a random Facebook lead that puts in a home value thing, is that considered a good lead? I would consider that a very early step one lead to see if I can just capture a wide swath of people, but that's probably not the lead that I would count. I'd probably count the lead that I actually am able to connect with, okay, that I'm actually able to get on a phone with or sit in person with, okay? Those people, how many of them do you have to talk to in order to close a transaction, i.e. have a person want to work with you as the buyer agent, or have a person want to work with you to sell their house? How many of those people in a marketing qualified lead do you have to talk to in order to go, okay, this person is going to work with me, I'm going to close a transaction with them? On the investor side, it's very similar. How many good leads do you have to get in order to close a transaction? I'm going to step it up for you as well. Just like with agents, agents are so used to really low quality, high volume leads on Facebook. And they're like, man, I'm getting leads for $1.50 each. But it's going to take 150 of those leads to turn into a transaction versus a really targeted lead for real estate investors. It might be 1 in 10, 1 in 15 of those into a transaction because they're really targeted. You're catching that prospect further down the decision cycle. They're ready to get their problem solved versus just exploring for what my house is worth, and they might not be ready to sell, right? When you're on the investment side, you have a much better lead to close ratio because you're working with people that are more motivated, okay? So on the investor side, it usually is between 1 in 10 to 1 in 20 with your online leads. We have a lot of clients that are 1 in 8, 1 in 5, because they're really good with their qualification of their leads, and they're amazing with their negotiation. Okay, well, what is your number? How many leads does it take you to close into a transaction, like real good qualified leads? Write that number down on a piece of paper, okay? The next thing I want you to write down, and I've got a video on this. We'll put this video in the show notes. I've got a video that walks you through this whole thing, okay? But the next thing you want to write down is, how much money would I be willing to trade in marketing in order to get one of those transactions closed? So if your average profit per deal as an investor is $20,000, and you say that it takes me about 20 leads to get one of those deals, 20 good leads, okay? How much money would you be willing to trade in marketing in order to get that $20,000 deal? Okay. So my rule of thumb is about 25% or less. And I'm going to give you a caveat to this. Then we'll talk about the marketing stack. Okay. So if you're bringing in 20K per deal, 20K profit per deal, and you'd be willing to trade, let's say, $5,000 in marketing to get that deal, which I think is pretty darn fair. That's pretty darn good. Okay. Then what you do to figure out how much money you should be allocating for your marketing, if you want to be doing paid marketing, is I would say, cool, how many deals do I want to close per month with this marketing method or with my marketing in general? Okay, if you're like, you know, I'd love one per month, or if you're like, man, I'd love five, you take that number that you said you'd be willing to trade in order to get that average profit or average commission per deal, and you times that by the number of deals or transactions you want to do per month. So let's say you want to do 2 transactions per month with that marketing method. Okay, and you said that my average profit per deal is 20K, and I would be willing to trade $5,000 in marketing to get that. You would take $5,000, okay, times 2, because you want to get 2 of those deals done per month. And that is about what you should be willing to invest in your paid marketing, in order to close those 2 deals per month. It's about $10,000. So your $10,000 is going to be bringing $40,000 in revenue. So subtract 40 minus the 10, that's 30K in profit right there. Okay. But I know a lot of you are thinking, oh my gosh, 10 grand, that's so much. I don't have 10 grand. Oh man, my marketing before hasn't been working and I can't put 10 grand out there. And that's emotion creeping in. Math just told you, if my average profit per deal is actually 20K, and I said I would be willing to trade $5,000 in marketing to get that, then I want to do 2 deals a month, that tells me that I should be willing to invest up to $10,000 per month to get $40,000 in revenue. The math just said that. So anything other than that that's creeping in is insecurities and it's emotion, which those are the things that kill your marketing. Those are the things that make it so you cannot scale out your marketing. Those are the things where the bigger investors or agents are going to just be cleaning your clock because they're likely better using math than you. And you're going to be giving up too early. You're going to be going, man, I want to get 2 transactions per month with this. And here's the average profit for real. But geez, I've already put in $3,000 in marketing and I haven't even got a deal yet. This thing must not be working. I'm going to stop, right? And that's not the mindset, because while you're stopping at 3K and the math told you to even get one deal, you'd be willing to trade 5, okay? Then you're stopping before the math has even had a chance to prove right. If you're an agent and your average transaction, let's say your average sale is a $300,000 home and you get 3% commission, so that's a $9,000 commission. Same thing, I would say, how much money would you be willing to trade to get that $9,000 commission in marketing? And you might say, well, $500. And I'd say, well, is that realistic? What if your competition is willing to trade $1,500 to get that $9,000 commission, which means they can market more than you. They can market more aggressive than you. Your marketing is going to have to get turned off earlier because you have a lower budget, which is based off of emotion, not on math. Of course, we would all love to pay as little as possible for that $9,000 commission or that $20,000 profit. We'd all love that. But when you're in a competitive market, you have to use math in order to prove it out, okay? So I'd write that down. That is your target for how much money you should be willing to invest if you're looking to do paid marketing in your marketing, okay? And if it's anything less than that, you should temper your expectations. If you're like, man, I don't have 10K a month, then you go, okay, cool. What marketing can I do that's going to take more of my work, but it's going to be delivering a lower cost lead or maybe even free? And I'm going to give you some of those things to do. Then I'm going to talk about the marketing stack after this, okay? The next thing you should be doing is once again, if you do want to do paid marketing, but those numbers aren't jiving with the money that you've actually got ready to invest, then you might go, well, let's start slower. Let's get our first deal done. And maybe it does, maybe I am saying that it will, you know, that I'd be willing to invest up to 5K to get that $20,000 deal. And with my direct mail marketing that I'm doing, it's bringing in deals at $3,500. So I'm going to target for $3,500, but I'm willing to spend up to 5K because I know the math works, right? So you might go, you know what? I'm going to carve out. I only have $2,000 a month right now that I can carve out. Then you look at that and say, cool. If I know that I should be willing to invest up to $5,000 and with direct mail right now, it's $3,500 a deal. I'm going to carve out $2,000 a month with a proven marketing method with a high converting website like Carrot. If you're driving people to a low converting website, y'all, you're going to be burning money massively, okay? It's worth the money to invest in a high converting, high performing tech stack like Carrot, okay? So if you're wanting to do, once again, if you only have 2K a month, then you look at that and go, cool. Well, maybe I'm going to aim to get a deal done every 2 or 3 months because I can put this $2,000 in this month, $2,000 in next month. You might be lucky and get your first deal that first month. We have a ton of customers who are like, man, my 7th lead turned into a $15,000 profit deal. And is that normal? I don't know. Sometimes it is, sometimes it isn't. But you just have to be ready to temper your expectations and make sure that you know and you're very, very clear that you should be following math on emotion. Okay.
Hey friends, it's Brady with Carrot. I am so sorry to cut this off right in the middle of an episode, but don't worry. So next week, Trevor's going to be wrapping up part 2 of this. So this week we went over how to scale your marketing with math and not emotion. And next week is going to be really creating that master plan on how to create your marketing stack. So catch part 2 next week, and then we are going to wrap it up with an awesome in-studio episode and put a bow on this Trevor Truck Talk marketing series. So thank you, and we will see you next week.